Hallelujah. That's what it's about right there. That's what we came to do. So be it. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, I just decrease and ask you to increase in me, Lord. Have your way, God. Though my body tries to tell me I'm not feeling good, Lord, I trust in you, Lord. Increase your spirit in me, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So guess what? I'm going to give you guys the permission to talk back to me today, all you want. But, you know, amen?
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 Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, let me ask you something. Has Jesus ever brought you out of a season?
Yes.
Has he forgiven you?
Yes.
Has he broken chains?
Yes.
Has he healed a wound?
Yes.
Has he restored a relationship?
Yes.
Has he carried you through grief?
Yes.
Has he held you together when you didn't think you could make it?
Yes.
If that's the truth, I'd like you to give him a little praise in this house. Amen. And we still serve a restoring God. He restores hope and joy. He's still restoring families and homes. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
He restores purpose and prayer. He restores people the enemy thought he had finished. Come on, right when the enemy thought he had won. Then God comes in. Amen. Listen, we've been in a series called After the Breakthrough. Last week we talked about guarding the ground. We learned when Jesus sets us free, we don't hand back what he took away from us from the enemy, right? What he freed us from. We don't go back to the enemy and say, all right, here I am. I'm back. No, we keep moving. Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus breaks chains, we don't put them back on. We don't carry them with us. Amen.
Amen.
When he opens up the prison door, we don't walk back into the prison. Think about it, literally. If you get out of prison, you don't go back into prison. Who's been to prison in the house? Don't be ashamed. It's okay. If you get out of prison or jail, you don't go back into jail unless you're going to minister. Amen. Hallelujah. We go back in to preach the word of God. We ain't going back to get locked up. And when Jesus takes us out of Egypt, we don't go back to Egypt. Amen. We guard our minds. We guard our homes. We guard our prayer lives. We guard the ground because Jesus purchased it with his blood. Don't you know you've been bought with a high price? Come on. But after God gives us the ground, we have to ask another question. What are we going to build on it? Because God didn't set you free so you could stand in an empty field celebrating that you've escaped. He set you free so you could build. Amen. Kingdom builders. Amen.
Amen.
He restored you so you can rebuild. He brought you through so your life could be strength for someone else. The person God delivered someone can help someone else find freedom. The person God healed can carry the very compassion to give to someone that's still hurting, to give them hope. The person or the people that God, the family that he's restored, goes to a broken family and says, don't quit. Listen, what God did for me, he can do for you. He is still able, amen?
Amen.
Listen, God saved you and put a light in you so you could become a light in someone else's darkness, amen?
Amen.
Your breakthrough is never meant to stop with you. Your testimony has an assignment. Your restoration has a purpose. Your freedom was not for your personal relief. Your freedom now becomes a kingdom responsibility. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a responsibility. That's why rebuilding the wall is the next spiritual step after guarding the ground. Guarding the ground says, don't give back what Jesus delivered you from. But rebuild the wall says, now use the freedom God gave you to strengthen, protect, and to restore and rebuild something for his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
First, God brings you out. Then he teaches you how to stand. And then guess what? He's going to give you a section of the wall. Amen?
Amen.
And today I believe the Holy Spirit is calling people out of survival and into purpose. All right. Now look at your neighbor and say, I'm not just surviving.
I'm rebuilding.
And now look at that same neighbor and say, God has given me a section of the wall. I want you guys to remember that now. Today we're going to look at the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem was there, but it was in ruins. The walls were broken down. The gates had been burned with fire. What once was a place of Worship, identity, protection, and promise had become a city surrounded by rubble. Come on. There were stones everywhere that used to be part of a wall. There were burned gates that used to protect families. There were broken places that once were safe places. Jerusalem had history, had a promise. Yeah. Jerusalem had people.
That's right.
But the people had learned to live among the rubble. Some of you know what it feels like to live around rubble, don't we? Rubble of a broken relationship. Rubble of that marriage that fell apart. Maybe your rubble was addiction or regret or poor decisions or the years you felt like the enemy stole. Maybe your rubble was the death of someone you loved. Maybe your rubble was a dream that didn't work out the way you thought it would. Maybe your rubble is financial pressure, betrayal, anxiety, depression, rejection, or a family situation that left you wondering if anything would ever be whole again. Maybe you've looked at your life and thought, there's just too much. It's too much damage. I'm too far gone. There ain't nothing. There ain't no way God can do anything with this. But I came to tell you, to tell someone this morning that God can use all things together for the good of those who love him. Amen. That God is not intimidated by your rubble. That God doesn't look at your rubble and say, I can't do nothing with this. I'll tell you what, God gets glory out of using broken things to build them up as champions. Amen? Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel better already. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't need no Allard DX. I just needed some more Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, the same God who looked at Jerusalem and saw more than broken stones, he saw a city he could rebuild. He's looking at your life and knowing he can restore it too. He saw the gates that could be restored. He saw the families that were going to be protected. He saw the worship that was going to rise up again. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He saw purpose in the middle of the mess. Amen. And he sees purpose in the middle of your mess, which is going to turn into a message. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Come on.
Man, listen to me. Your rubble does not cancel your calling. Your past does not erase your purpose. Your wounds do not disqualify you from being used by God. Your failures do not get the final word. See, the enemy may have tried to bury your future under rubble of your past, but I'm telling you, God wants to rebuild that, your future from what once looked destroyed, so he can get some glory, amen? I'm telling you, he's going to do something in your life that when people see it, they say, only God can do that. Hallelujah. Listen, God loves to take broken stones and build a wall. I want you to remember that. God loves taking broken hearts and making it a place of compassion. He loves taking a painful testimony and turning it into freedom for someone else. See, God takes what the enemy meant for destruction and uses it to reveal his restoration. God takes what the enemy meant for evil and uses it for his good. Amen? See, Nehemiah, he heard the report about Jerusalem. When he heard that report, he could have said, hey, this is someone else's problem. I'm not a builder. Who am I? Listen, I got a position in the palace, man. I got provision. I got security. I don't need to go back to Jerusalem. It's all busted down and broken. But God put a burden in his heart. And when God gives you a holy burden, it's not so you can complain about a broken wall. It's so you can become part of the people that rebuild it. Amen.
Yeah.
Holy burden becomes a prayer. Holy burdens become assignments. Holy burdens have to become obedience. A holy burden has to become action. Amen.
Amen.
See, God may be showing you something broken because he's calling you to rebuild it.
That's right.
Showing you brokenness in your family. Maybe he's showing you a need inside the church. Maybe he keeps showing you children who need to know Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe he's showing you hurting people, lonely people, lost people, addicted people, families under pressure, people who just need hope. But don't assume that God showed you the brokenness so you can criticize it.
Come on.
Let me say it again. I don't think you caught it. Don't assume that God showed you the brokenness so you can sit around and criticize it. Amen. Maybe, just maybe, he's calling you to help rebuild it. And maybe the very rubble that God brought you through is now going to be the place where he takes you back to build up. Amen?
Amen.
Because Because God doesn't waste pain. He doesn't waste the testimony. He doesn't waste restoration. He takes what's broken and he makes it a testimony and says, if God rebuilt me, he can rebuild you too. What God did for me, he can do it for you too. Yeah, once I was down, busted and disgusted in an addict and in a corner, doing all sorts of levels of depravity, but God picked me back up. He put his spirit in me. He made me a new creation. What he did for me, he can do for you too. Trust me, he is no respecter of persons, and I ain't nobody special. All I was someone who was desperate for the Lord, amen. Desperate for God. Lord, change me. Heal me. Fix me, Lord. Whatever it is you have me do, I'll do it for you, Lord.
Amen.
Then there's going to come a time when, guess what? You got to put a little action to those prayers. Amen. All right, let's get into Nehemiah. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Nehemiah 2, starting at 11. We're going to go to 20. Says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent wall and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, its gates which were burned with fire. Then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool. And there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, and also the king's word he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. But then Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, and the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard of it, and they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Yeah. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Listen, Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, but he doesn't immediately gather the people for some grand speech. He doesn't begin with a hammer. He doesn't begin with an announcement. He doesn't begin with an excuse. He goes out at night and inspects the wall.
Survey.
He sees gates burned with fire. He sees rubble. He sees the breaches of the wall. He sees places that are damaged, that there's no way through. Then he calls the people together. And what's he say? Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And the people answered, let us rise up and build. And Nehemiah declared, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build. That is the heart of a rebuilder. Not come and let us complain or let us blame. Let us talk about whose fault it is that the wall's down.
Come on.
Or let's wait for someone else to do it. He said, come, let us build. My first point is you cannot rebuild what you refuse to see. See, Nehemiah had to inspect the wall before he could rebuild the wall. He had to face the damage. You hearing me?
Yeah.
He had to see the breach.
That's right.
He had to walk around the burned gates. He had to look honestly at the rubble. He cannot rebuild from denial, and neither can we. See, some people want God to restore their lives, but they don't want to honestly look at what's broken in their lives. They want healing without honesty. They want restoration without repentance. They want a new wall without acknowledging the breach. Listen to me. God does not reveal your brokenness to shame you. He reveals brokenness to you because he loves you enough to rebuild it. See, Nehemiah was not inspecting Jerusalem to condemn Jerusalem. He inspected it because he loved it. God is not doing the same thing to you to shame you. It's because he loves you. And see, sometimes God lets us see a broken place because he loves you too much to leave it that way. There's broken walls in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Walls of prayer can be down.
Yeah.
Walls of peace.
Yeah.
Walls of communication can be down. Walls of purity. Walls of trust. Walls of family unity. And walls of spiritual discipline. What about the wall of hope? And when a wall is down, you know what happens? And the enemy's looking for access. Amen. He looks for a breach. He looks for a place where fear can enter. He's looking for those places. He's looking somewhere where there's division so he can enter, where discouragement can enter, where compromise can enter.
Right. Come on.
But listen, I came today to tell you that your broken wall is not the end of your story.
Thank you, Father God.
A burned gate is not the end of the story. Rubble is not the end of the story, because I know someone who's a master rebuilder, and his name is Jesus. Amen. But before you build, you got to make sure you're aligned inside of God's will.
That's
right. See, Nehemiah didn't see a broken wall and decide, I'm going to build whatever I want to build. He prayed. He sought God. He waited for direction. He moved according to what God had put in his heart. And that's important, because listen, not every burden is a calling. Not every good idea is a God idea. And not every opportunity is your section of the wall.
Amen.
Before you build, you got to make sure your life, your motives, and your actions are submitted to the Word of God. Amen. Listen, God will never lead you to build something that contradicts His Word. Amen.
That's right.
What do I mean by that? He'll never call you to rebuild a marriage through manipulation. He'll never call you to rebuild trust through dishonesty.
Right.
He'll never call you to rebuild your life through compromise. He will never tell you to advance his kingdom by abandoning his character.
Right.
The will of God is never separated from the Word of God.
That's right.
So before you move, you got to say, Lord, show me the breach. Could you pray that today? Lord, show me the breach.
Show me
my calling to rebuild. Show me where I've been ignoring the damage. It's so easy to do. See, these things we hear, and once again, like last week, we like to look across the room and say, yeah, I know that word was for brother so-and-so and sister watermelon. I know that. It can't be for me. But I'm telling you, help me see where I need to repent. Show me, Lord, where I need to serve. Show me, God, what obedience looks like. Because listen, we cannot rebuild according to our emotions. A wise man once told me, emotions are good indicators, but poor masters.
Amen.
Don't move by your emotions.
Help me, Lord.
And when God shows you the broken place, don't run from it. Don't hide from it.
Right.
Don't become ashamed of it. Bring it to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Because the one who reveals the breach is also the one who's going to give you the grace to rebuild it. My second point is, God restores you for good works, not just for your personal relief. Let me say that again. God restores you for good works, not just for your personal relief. See, Nehemiah did not only go to Jerusalem and feel sad about Jerusalem. He went to rebuild. Amen. He didn't have some emotional moment in front of the ruins and then leave the palace unchanged. He turned the burden into action. He turned the grief into an assignment. He turned the rubble into a rebuilding project. So many of us want to look at the rubble and, oh my God, Lord, help us, Lord. But we don't. He's saying, I'm using you to help the situation, but we're looking at everybody else. Are you going to help? Are you going to help? Hey, you know, brother so-and-so, he didn't even help. But you were standing there the whole time in front of the rubble, and God was going to use you. He turned the despair into direction. And that's what God does with a breakthrough. He doesn't restore you so you can tell everybody you made it. He restores you so you can become useful for his kingdom.
Ooh, that's
He restores you so you can carry hope to somebody else. So you can pray with authority. So you can serve with compassion. He restores you so you can build what pain once tore down. Let's go to Ephesians 2, since Mr. Stevens said so. Yes. Verse 10. That's right. For we are his workmanship. Come on. His workmanship. That's incredible. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You are his workmanship. If that don't get you shouting, I don't know what will. I said you are his workmanship. Hallelujah. You are not discarded material. You're not the sum of your worst moments. You're not simply a list of your failures and your wounds and your mistakes and your disappointments. You are his workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. Not only saved so you can come and sit in the chair. I got some news. I'm not being mean either. God didn't save you to warm the seat up. He saved you to go into someone else's life and show them the goodness of God. Amen. You are saved to serve. You are delivered. You weren't just delivered so you could celebrate deliverance. You became now a vessel of deliverance. Amen? God didn't heal you so you could sit around your house all day and just feel comfortable. You were healed so you could carry the compassion that God gave you through the healing and change your perspective to understand the goodness of God. See, there's a difference between surviving and building. Surviving will say, I just need enough strength just to make it through today. But builders say, Lord, use this strength so you gave me so I can strengthen someone else. You can use me, God. Through me, you can strengthen someone else. Surviving says, I'm thankful for what I got. But builders say, now I want my life to become a doorway for someone else to find Jesus. See, we may not all build the same way. But every believer is called to build the kingdom of God. Amen. We build by repairing lives, by restoring people, by carrying the healing that God gave you, by serving, by praying, by discipling, by loving people when it's hard, when they're hard to love. Amen. You know any of those? By showing up faithfully, by speaking truth. And this means you got to start living a sent life. Don't you know you're sent? You're not only sent when you go to the mission trip. You're sent when you go to work. You're sent when you walk into school or when you enter a hard conversation. What about into a broken situation? See, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. You're not a passive observer in God's kingdom. You are sent. Come on. You're sent into the home, the family, into the workplace, in your neighborhood. You're sent into the problems that God has placed near you. Amen. Think about that. So don't walk into the next situation going, why am I stuck here? Right. Maybe the better question is, Lord, why'd you send me here? Maybe you're not there by accident. Maybe God placed you there to pray. Maybe God placed you there to speak life. Or maybe to serve. Maybe God placed you there to build a section of the wall that nobody else has eyes to see. And you don't have to know the full blueprint to take the next obedient step. Nehemiah did not know every challenge that was waiting for him in Jerusalem when he said yes. He didn't know that the enemy was going to oppose him. He didn't know where every stone was going to go and where every stone needed to be moved. But he knew that God put something in his heart. And if you know God's put something in your heart, you need to act on what God is showing you. Amen. Don't procrastinate waiting for the whole plan. Right. The next step of God will be clear to you. All you got to know is the next step. Just got to know the next step. God's looking for your obedience for the next step. Yeah. See, you may not know the entire assignment, but you know how to pray. That's right. Amen. You may not know every person that's going to be there to help. But you know how to serve. You may not know what the completed picture will look like, but you know how to say yes. So can you say yes to God when he puts a burden in your heart? Because the calling of your life remains dormant until you act upon it. Faith without works is dead. So when God reveals a burden, don't just admire it. Obey it. Don't just talk about the wall. Pick up a stone. Don't throw the stone. Just pick it up. Place it down. Amen. Amen. My third point is every person has a section of the wall. See, Nehemiah didn't rebuild Jerusalem by himself. Amen? Amen. He had the burden, but the people had to build. He had the vision, but the people had to strengthen their hands. He had the leadership, but the people had to pick up the stones. They didn't throw them. And this is the beauty of the kingdom of God. God doesn't call one person to do everything. God didn't bring me here so I could do everything. Right? We're the hands and the feet. He calls every person to do something. He doesn't call one person to do everything, but every person to do something. Amen? Every person has a section of the wall. Every person has a gift. Every person has a place. Every person has a stone to carry. Let's go to 1 Peter 4:10. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of God's getting me through this. I'm grateful. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every person has received a gift. Do you know that? Every person, I'm talking to each of you individually right now. Did you know that you have a gift that God placed in you? Yes. That before he created you, you are a purpose. Amen? Yes. Amen. Not only the pastor, not only the worship leader, not only the person holding the microphone, not the person that everyone sees, but every person has received something from God. Amen. And the Bible says, use it to minister to one another. Use it. Steward it. Build with it. Don't bury it. Don't compare it. Listen. Each has their own purpose. Stop comparing your gift to my gift. Stop comparing your life to my life. Or anybody else's life. Trust me. What God is doing in you is just as great as what he's doing in me. And what he's doing in me is just as great what he's doing in you. And listen, you cannot wait until you feel important enough. Did you hear that one? Amen. Stop waiting until you feel important enough. Right. Use what God put in your hands. Some people are called to pray. Some to teach. Yeah. Some people are called to lead the children. Some people are called to greet. Some people are called to clean. Right, Connie? Some people are called to cook. Some people are called to visit the sick. Some are called to worship. Yeah. Some are called to serve in the sound and hit the slides and the cameras and security and the giving and the intercession. And discipleship. The thing is, when all this comes together, we make a body of believers. We complete the wall. Amen. And I'm tired of hearing people say, I only do this. I'm only on the worship team. I'm only a greeter. No. There is no only in the kingdom. When what you're doing is assigned to you by God. You're not only serving in the nursery. You're helping build a wall around those children's future when you're speaking prayer over them. You're not only greeting at the door, you're helping build a wall around someone's first encounter with the love of God. You're not only running slides, Miss Vicky, you're helping place the truth in front of people's eyes. You're building that wall. You're not only cleaning, you're helping prepare a place where hurting people feel safe and it's clean for them to encounter Jesus. And you're not only praying, you're watchmen on the wall in the spirit. And your gift matters. Amen. Your section matters. Your yes matters. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:9. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're so wonderful, God. 3:9. It says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We are fellow workers with God. Not workers competing with one another. Not workers criticizing one another. Not workers sitting back and waiting for someone else to carry the whole weight. Fellow workers, together with God, together as a church, together as a family, together as builders.
Yeah.
Let me read it again. Fellow workers, together with God, together as a church, together as a family, together as builders.
Yeah.
And knowing you are called is what gives you the authority. Not arrogance,
Amen.
But authority. See, there's a difference between arrogance and authority. Arrogance says, look at what I can do. Look at me. Look at the way that I preach. Look at the way that I do this. But authority says, God sent me. Amen.
Amen.
I'm on a mission from God. Amen.
Amen.
Arrogance says, I'm enough by myself. But authority says, the hand of God is upon me. Arrogance says, I have all the answers, and if you don't do what I say to do, I got a monopoly on God. You're disobeying God. But authority says, I know the one who called me. Amen.
Amen.
See, when Nehemiah faced opposition, he didn't rely on his title or position or natural strength. He said, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. That is authority.
Amen.
See, he knew the assignment was from God. There was a movie back in the 90s, I think it was. I'm on a mission from God. And that's what we're on. We're on a mission from God. Amen. Yeah. Don't watch it. Just know they said it. But the point is that we're all on missions from God. And when you know God has called you, you don't have to be controlled by everyone's opinion. Everyone's criticism. Everyone's obstacle. See, you can stand when people don't understand. You can keep building when people mock you. And listen, I am not going to apologize if my life and discipline confront something in you that you want to hide from that God is trying to reveal to you. Guess what? Don't mix up your perspective with my heart. Amen. Perspective might say, oh, you know, he just thinks he's better than everybody else. No, I'm just walking and operating the grace that God give me. Amen. Don't mistake your perspective for someone else's heart. Amen. See, and you cannot operate from a place of needing an applause or needing performance-based outcomes. Amen. Because when God calls you to rebuild the wall, guess what? Somebody might come up and they're not going to say, man, you're doing a great job rebuilding the wall, man. I'm sorry. Guess what? You don't need that. You got to know it from the Lord. Amen. Because if you let people's applause move you, their silence will kill you. Amen. It will destroy you. You got to stay faithful when the work gets difficult. See, you got to keep serving even when nobody's applauding. You're building because God sent you. See, the enemy loves isolated stones. See, isolated stones don't make a wall. But listen to me, when you start taking the stones, and each of us are stones, we just don't throw ourselves. We start placing them together. You start putting one stone next to another stone, and then stones start getting connected. Stones start strengthening each other as they stand right next to each other, and the stones together become a wall, and they become protection. And a wall becomes a declaration that this home is not abandoned, that this place is not finished, this city is not abandoned, that someone is here and they're thriving and we're living, we're still believing and we're building, amen? So pick up your stone, find your section, and build.
Come on.
Amen? Let's talk about the battle around the wall. Let's go back to Nehemiah 4, we're going to go 6 through 18. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there's too much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will never know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause their work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall and at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, every one to his work. So it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction while the other held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried the burdens loaded themselves so that one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who surrounded the trumpet was beside me. Listen. Whenever God's people begin to build something, the enemy's going to notice. Amen. You don't think the enemy noticed what we're building here? Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, I promise you, we're stirring up the forces of darkness. Oh, yeah. But it's okay, because our God's greater. Amen. Our God is stronger, amen? Amen? The wall began to rise, and guess what that meant? The breaches began to close. And the people had a mind to work. Do you have a mind to work? Yeah. And that's when the opposition got louder. Because the enemy is not threatened by rubble. Amen. The enemy is not threatened by rubble.
That's right.
But he was threatened by the rebuilding.
Right.
He wasn't worried when the walls are down. He wasn't worried because the breaches were still there. But when they began to close, that's when he started getting worried. See, he got angry when they started rebuilding. See, don't mistake resistance for proof that you miss God.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't mistake the resistance in your life that God is absent. Amen.
That's right.
Sometimes resistance is the proof that your obedience is closing an opening that the enemy had access to.
That's true.
See, when you begin to pray again, resistance may rise. When you begin to rebuild your home, when you begin to lead your family to God, resistance may rise. When you begin to forgive and serve and give, worship and disciple and step into your calling, resistance may rise. So don't be surprised. Don't stop. And don't think the enemy's noise means that God is not in it. The enemy fights calling because callings change lives. The enemy fights builders because builders close up breaches. See, the enemy fights unity because unity creates strength. And the enemy fights your purpose because your purpose is what advances the kingdom. But the God who called you is greater than any resistance that rises against you. Let me say it again. But the God who called you is greater than any resistance that is rising up against you. My fourth point is rebuilders pray, watch, and work. Builders pray, watch, and work. In chapter 4, Nehemiah gives us the picture of spiritual maturity. The enemy threatened them. The people were tired. The rubble was heavy. The opposition real. And Nehemiah said, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. They prayed and they watched. They trusted God. They took responsibility and they had faith. And they had wisdom. You need them together. They didn't say we prayed so we don't need to watch. They didn't say we have a watch so we don't need to pray. They prayed and watched. That's how rebuilders live. They pray over their homes, but they guard their homes. Amen. They pray over their children, but they teach their children. Amen. We pray for our marriages, but in those marriages, we communicate, forgive, repent, serve, and stay accountable.
Yeah.
See, we pray for revival, but we got to become a people that God can use in a revival. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer is not an excuse to avoid action. Prayer should be the power that fuels action. Then Nehemiah said every builder had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. One hand built, the other hand stood ready. One hand carried a stone and the other hand carried a weapon. Isn't that a picture of a believer after a breakthrough? See, you're called to build and to guard the ground and to rebuild the wall. The tool in your hand is your service, your gift, your time, your faithfulness, your generosity, your obedience, your willingness to say yes when God speaks. Your weapon in your hand is the word of God.
Right.
It's your prayer,
yeah.
Your worship, your truth.
Come on, that's right.
It's the name of Jesus. It's refusing to agree with the lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
You need both hands.
Yeah.
You need your tools and you need your weapon. Amen. You need to serve and to pray. You need to build and to stand. You need to work and to worship. You need to give and you need to guard your heart. You need to love people and you need to protect your mind. See, a church that works but doesn't pray becomes exhausted.
That's right.
A church that prays and refuses to build becomes passive.
Passive.
But a church that prays, watches, worships, gives, serves, and stands in the truth becomes dangerous.
Amen.
To the kingdom of darkness.
Good.
When resistance comes, don't build your response on emotion. Don't build your response on fear or what the enemy said. Come on. Build your response on what God said about you. See, Nehemiah didn't answer the enemy's mockery by debating every accusation. People can say whatever they want about me. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Go ahead. Waste your breath. Because guess what? My character will outlast their confusion. Amen. Say whatever you want. Doesn't matter. He answered with the mission that God gave him. Amen. That's what Nehemiah did. See, that God himself will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build. Didn't Jesus do the same thing in the wilderness? When the devil tempted him, Jesus didn't panic. He wasn't negotiating with the devil. He answered with the word. That's how you need to respond when the enemy attacks. Amen. Don't just stare at the opposition. Return to the word. When fear says the wall's too broken, answer with the word. When discouragement says you can't do this, answer with the word. When the enemy says quit, answer with the word. When resistance tells you you're not called, answer with the word. See, the enemy may have accusation, but our God has a greater promise. See, the enemy may have a threat, but God has given each of you authority. The enemy may have a voice, but God has the final word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Nehemiah said, remember the Lord, great and awesome. When you remember the size of your God, the size of your opposition changes. And I'm telling you, some of you need to remember the history that you have with God.
Amen.
So when you see a little opposition in front of you, don't forget what God's already brought you through. Hasn't God brought you through something? Hasn't God revealed himself to you? Hasn't God proven himself to you? So do you think he's going to stop now? He won't. And he has that history. It's what you need to call on. The evidence of him moving in your life. Remember those things when the next thing comes up. My last point is, don't quit because the rubble is heavy. The people of Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there's so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. In other words, we're tired. Man, the rubble's heavy. The work is hard. The wall is not finished. And we don't know if we can keep going. Have anybody felt like that? You're not lazy. You're just tired. You're not faithless. You're just carrying a burden. You're not refusing to build. You're just looking at the rubble and wondering how much longer is this going to take? See, rubble is what remains after something falls down. Rubble is old pain, old wounds, old failures, old disappointments, old memories, old damage. And sometimes God wants to rebuild without making us move through the rubble. But God will give you strength for one stone at a time. You don't rebuild the wall by fixing everything in one day. You rebuild it by one stone at a time. One prayer, one act of obedience, one conversation, one apology, one decision to forgive, one Bible reading, one day of faithfulness, one day of serving, one time of showing up, one step of faith. One yes to God. But don't let the amount of rubble make you despise the next stone. Because all that matters is the next stone. The small obedience matters. The quiet prayers matter. The unseen service matters. The decision to stay matters. To forgive. To stand. To build. Listen, hardships are not revoking your calling. A setback doesn't revoke your calling. A failure does not revoke your calling. A disappointment does not revoke your calling. A delay does not revoke your calling. And let me tell you what, the enemy's opinion, or a matter of fact, anybody's opinion, doesn't revoke your calling. See, God remains faithful to the purpose that he placed on your life. See, the enemy may want you to believe that because you stumbled, your assignment's over. But the God who called Peter after failure still restored him, didn't he? Yeah. To feed his sheep. The God who called Moses after 40 years in the wilderness still used him to deliver a nation, didn't he? And the God who called Nehemiah in a place still used him in the rubble. And the God who has called you has not changed his mind because the road got difficult. Let's go to Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There's a due season, amen. There's a harvest and there's a finished wall. There's a day that's going to come when the breach closes. And there's a day when the enemy cannot walk through the same opening anymore. There's a day when your children stand inside something that you helped build. And there's a day when someone else is going to thank God that you didn't quit when you got tired. Thank you. There's a day when your prayers, your giving, your service, your obedience, and your faithfulness will become part of someone else's testimony. Yes. So don't grow weary in doing good. Don't quit because the work is hard. Don't quit because somebody mocked the work. Don't quit because resistance came. Don't quit because you're not finished yet. Amen? Don't quit if there's still rubble. I'm telling you, what you're building is going to be the place that someone else comes to and sees the glory of God. Amen? Amen. The rubble is not proof that God is absent. The rubble is proof that rebuilding is needed. And the fact that you're still standing here today, that means God has given you enough strength for the next stone. God's not asking you to carry the whole wall today. He's asking you to be faithful with the stone in front of you. Amen? So will we arise and build? I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, rise up and build. Rise up and build your prayer life. Rise up and build your home. Rise up and build your marriage. Rise up and build faith into your children. Rise up and build your section of the wall. Rise up and build what the enemy said would always stay broken. Rise up and build where you see the ruins. See, the enemy may have knocked down walls in your life, but Jesus is still rebuilding. The enemy may have burned your gates, but Jesus still opens doors that no man can open up. Amen. Amen. Opens up doors that no man can shut. And the enemy may have left some rubble, but I'm telling you, Jesus still makes beauty from ashes. He still turns mourning into joy. Amen. And if you need your ashes to turn into beauty, guess what? I know someone who can. The enemy may have told you you're too far gone, but the God of heaven says we will arise and build in this house. If you believe that, just give God some praise in this house. You're called to arise and build. God did not bring you through this breakthrough so you could sit in the ruins. He brought you through the breakthrough so you could be a rebuilder. The wall is not just for you. The wall is for our family. The wall is for the next generation. The wall is for people who have never seen the goodness of God or entered this church yet. The wall is for the city. God has put something in your hand, a gift, a testimony, a prayer burden, a heart to serve, a word of encouragement, a skill, a calling. He's put a section of the wall in your hand. Do not leave it on the ground. Pick it up. And don't wait for someone else to do it. Amen. Ask God, Lord, what's my section? And when he shows you, don't be afraid.
Right.
The God of heaven will prosper us. Amen. We just got to be his servants. We must arise and build. Amen.
Amen.
I get my worship team up here. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please. And get my altar team too. My prayer is that we become builders. Amen.
Amen.
That we look at what God's put in our life honestly. Maybe you want to be a builder, but you're saying, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what my skill is. I don't know what God's putting in my hand. I would ask that you would come forward and that we could pray with you. If you need ministry, yeah. If you just need ministry, we'll come forward. But if you want us to pray with you for God to reveal your gifting, your calling, what your section of the wall is, we'd love to do that with you. This house is a house that we serve together, amen? Because when you serve, you grow. And I'd like this place to become a culture of serving. But to serve, you got to know what your gift is. And if you don't know, what I would recommend you do is just start serving until God reveals it to you. But everybody, every single person in here has a gift in their hands, a gift that God's placed in your heart. He's designed you, created you for a purpose of the section of the wall. Amen. Praise God. So come forward if you need ministry. Come forward if you need prayer. If not, we're going to worship. Amen.
Wonder, you know what you're doing. first the kingdom and its treasure, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty handed, 'cause he gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still
up on the screen from the pastor's sermon. So last night, I was like, I always ask God, where am I going to church? Because God's had me going around getting to meet people. And God's been saying, come here all week long. And last night, he was dumping into me about this church. I can't say all that he was telling me, but I can say some of it. Point number three, please. Point number three. Okay, cool. Because I was like, okay, sometimes God pours stuff into me about churches, but then doesn't give me permission to say it. So I'm sitting back here, and I'm not hearing from God, and the pastor's preaching. I'm like, it's right on the money. It's good. Thank you. And then I saw this, and God went, boom. Let me show you what you got here, okay? I saw the Dome of the Rock back in the background. That's what's on the where the temple's supposed to be right now. And God says, I'm building something in the presence of your enemies. He says, there's something happening. God's been pouring into me this for months now. We are, the season of grace has ended, and the season of judgment has begun. And God says, we are now in a season of Acts chapter 5 and Ezekiel 9. If you don't know those verses, I suggest you go read them. He says, there are ministries that are going to collapse. There are people in ministries that are going to die with the microphone in their hand, because they're not doing what I've called them to do, or I haven't called them to do what they're doing. God says that I'm about to do something in your day that you will not believe, even if I told you. We are in a season. I'm talking, God has been telling me this for 5 years. we are there. I don't know tomorrow, next week, next month. I don't know when. I don't know what it's going to be. But there is a moment coming in this world when he's going to shock the entire world. He's going to show up. Like when he parted the Red Sea, the world feared God because of what he did with Israel in parting the Red Sea. When the fire came down from heaven on Mount Carmel with the prophet, all the people said, we'll serve that God. God's about to do it again. I don't know how it's going to be, but let me tell you something. When he's done, when he does what he's doing, the whole world will say, it'll be on your TV, it'll be on your smartphone, there is a God in Israel and a God in the United States of America. And let me tell you something, this church right here, God says this, there's a possible future. A possible future. If you choose it, and I'm looking at some of the leaders in this church that I know, some of these leaders. If you choose it, when this moment happens, there's going to be two results in this world. Either they're going to completely and totally reject God to his face, or they're going to come to God in mass. I'm talking millions and millions in one day. And God says, this is their place of refuge if you'll choose it. If you choose it. If you go down the road that God is bringing you right now, he's going to fill this church up with the broken and the hurted who just realize God is real to their face. You ain't seen what God's about to do. You won't have room in the aisles for the broken people on their face before God. That's what he's saying in this church. If you choose it in this church right now, in this season right now, we're about to go through, not to be a pun, something big biblical that hasn't happened in 1,000 years. Watch it in the media. When these things start to happen, this is a process. God is saying it's a process, but it's also instantaneous when it happens. But as we start to go through this process and you see these things happen, don't panic. Give glory to God because he said it's going to happen and it is happening. Watch. Go ahead and watch. I mean, most time pastors will say don't watch the news. But keep an eye on it. Because you're about to see what God's about to do. They're going to talk about prophetic things in the news. I'm talking CNN and MSNBC or whatever they call themselves now are going to say, gee, Kim Clement said that was going to happen and it did. That's crazy. That's what's going to happen. We're there right now. So get ready. And this church right here, I've been to all the churches in Sedalia. This is the only one that he's given me this message for. If you'll choose it, he's about to change your guys' lives. So you go.
Well, praise God. Well, yeah, that was, yeah. Amen. And Pam's so wise. And you know, that takes work. That takes dedication. That takes obedience. That takes private time with God. That's not this assignment isn't something you can take lightly. That's what Miss Pam said. And she's right. It takes workers rebuilding the wall, carrying heavy rubble. It takes your obedience. Amen. Even when you don't feel like it. Miss Pam's right. That can be taken light. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Woo! I feel it all over me. Hallelujah. You can take that lightly and think it's an easy job, think it's an easy task to have a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other hand, rebuilding the wall while the enemy's coming in. You can think that's easy. Have you ever been to war? Well, that's what it's going to take then be ready to go to war, which means that you got to be trained, which means you got to stand ready, which means you got to be obedient to the calling. Amen. Yeah, do we want it? Yes. But it's going to require another level of surrender. Amen. Another level of obedience, another level, a deeper level, a greater level. Amen. And if that's what we choose, we got to do it together. Amen. You can't put it all on one person. You can't put it on all on one section. Every person's going to have to grab a stone. Amen. So if you like coming to church and just sitting in the chair, I'm sorry. You got to start picking up a stone. Amen. Don't throw it. Put it on the wall. Amen. Praise God. So we take that with the fear of the Lord and honor and reverence to God. We receive that word, but we understand that it's going to require what? Work. And it's going to require a deeper level. Amen. If you believe in that word, say amen. So guess what? When it comes time to work, you already knew it was coming. Amen. So be it. Father God, Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for always showing up, God. We thank you that your spirit is fresh, God, and you're doing something fresh in this region, God. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our children, Lord. Have your way with us, God. Whatever it is that you want to do, Lord, we say yes to you, God. Help us, God. Help us to get to go into a deeper level of surrender, a deeper level of prayer, a deeper level of obedience, a deeper level of listening and obeying, God. We want to go deeper with you, Lord. And help us grow deep before we grow out, God. We want to have deep roots, Lord. We thank you, God. Lord, I ask that you would go before your people this week. Lord, that you would reveal yourself and give them fresh revelation, Lord. Lord, as they draw near to you, God, we thank you that you draw near to us. And Lord, we want to just stay connected to your vine, God. And help us, Lord, to be strong and courageous, God. We need more strength and we need more courage in you, Father. I thank you, God. Be with your people as they go about their week, God. Let them remember that this is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. We give you the honor, the glory. We lay it all before you, God, and say, have your way with us. We give you our yes, Lord. We say yes to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I love you all.